For more than a decade, there has been an ongoing effort to restore a chain of islands in Lower Green Bay, and we're taking a look at how the project is progressing with our next guest. Hi, Jill Nadeau here. I'm sitting in for Larry on the Ideas Network. Josh Martinez is with us from our Green Bay studios. He is a wildlife biologist with the Wisconsin DNR and is involved in helping with the project on Cat Island. What would you like to know about this project? Are you familiar with Cat Island? What are your thoughts on the initiative there? Well, we'd like to hear from you, so give us a call. Our number is 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And you can also post a question, a comment, or a photo on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Hi, Josh.
How's it going, Jill?
It's going really well. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good today.
Good, good. I'm glad you found our studios up there in Green Bay. They're kind of hidden.
Well, UWGB alum here, and I've walked past it a few times. So
wonderful, wonderful. Well, why don't you tell us what a wildlife biologist with the Wisconsin DNR does?
So we deal a lot with our game species here in Wisconsin. We deal a lot with deer, turkey, waterfowl, bear, everything else in between. But I cover three counties here. I cover Brown, Kewaunee, and Door. So I cover a lot of the Lower Bay, East Shore of the Bay, and some of the Lake Michigan shorelines, and deal a lot with wildlife habitat restoration. I deal a lot with our wildlife populations, and I deal a lot with the human interactions between the needs of humans and wildlife.
Wow, you do a lot.
Yeah, we do a lot around here, but it's a lot of fun work that we get to do.
Great. Now, how did you get involved in Cat Island?
So Cat Island, I was fortunate as a UWGB student back in the past to do a little bit of research with some of my colleagues out here on bird surveys in the past, and then started with the department in 2013 up in Florence and transferred back to Green Bay, and I got kind of thrown right in the hot seat right away because I knew some of the researchers, and ever since I've been involved. So.
Perfect, perfect. Well, before we get too far, why don't you tell us what happened to these little islands known as the Cat Islands back in the 70s?
Yeah, so back in the 70s, we had a prolonged period of high water levels in the bay, which is a natural cycle of up and down with our water levels. But we also had an increase in storm surges in the spring time of the years for a period of years, which at that time, as we all know in the Green Bay area and a lot of our lakes, we have a lot of ice that moves around early spring.
Yes, we do.
And that ice damage ripped up a lot of those islands, damaged a lot of them. In addition, just the manipulation of our shorelines in the Lower Bay, with a lot of landowners and a lot of the municipalities putting up more of a riprap shoreline to help protect shores, that creates a bathtub effect where water bounces off one side and comes right back out, and that wave action bouncing off the riprap also added to some of the scouring that we had happen to those islands. So over the 70s, they deteriorated away to what we had left, which was Cat Island and Willow Island or Willow Shoal, depending on how high the water was.
Okay. And how did Cat Island get its name, by the way?
That's a good question that I do not really know.
Okay.
I know there may be a caller or two that may come in and they'll be able to chime in with a good way of
how they got their names. Yeah, I would like to know because that sounds really interesting. Well, before those islands basically disappeared, what role did they play in the bay?
So, yeah, they helped with protecting a lot of our wetland ecosystem that was in the Bay of Green Bay. We used to have one of the largest shallow water lakes, restoration areas or habitat areas in the Great Lakes. They protected a lot of the emergent marsh and submergent marsh underneath and south of the Cat Island from a lot of our wave action. So as a result, Duck Creek was much more expansive with its wetlands, and we had a really good nursery for fish and wildlife.
And then when they were gone, that affected them in a big way, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. So when those islands started to disappear and deteriorate over time, we had a lot more scouring occurring. So we lost a lot of our emergent and submergent marshes. So habitat for waterfowl, habitat for fish, and every other type of water bird that we depend on in this area drastically declined over time.
So then what brought on this effort to do a restoration of the islands? It sounds like a huge project.
Yeah, so I can't remember the exact years, back in the late 80s, that they had a meeting of a bunch of natural resource professionals here in the Green Bay area. And they met with also some of the needs of the local municipalities to reevaluate what's going on with the port of Green Bay, and our shipping channel. And as a result, too, what are the benefits of dredging that and what we can utilize that, them funds for, or those dredge materials for. And it came out that we should be recreating the Cat Island chain. And so that happened back in the late 80s, and ever since it's been a planning process. And it's been a very long planning process because this is a very large area of work that they're going to be doing. And back in the about 2012, I believe it was, is when they started actual work on the causeway.
Okay. We're talking with DNR wildlife biologist Josh Martinez about the work that's being done on Cat Island in Green Bay. But we'd like you to join the conversation. We have open lines. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. And you can post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And of course, you can send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. So you said it 2012 they started doing the restoration. Why don't you explain a little bit about the whole process, the whole engineering? I mean, I don't need details, of course, but how are they doing that?
So what they did is, starting back in 2012, they started actually creating a road into Green Bay. In order to do that, though, it took a lot of engineering planning through the Army Corps of Engineers. Brown County Port Authority was heavily involved in that, in addition to a few other natural resource professionals in the area and agencies. And they had to receive an actual lake bed grant, which required some actual legislative approval in order to do that, because they're recreating a bunch of islands. So they started with first creating a road into the bay, and it took them only a little over a year and a half, really, to complete that road 2.5 miles into the Bay of Green Bay.
What did they use for that?
So they used a lot of large riprap and a lot of gravel in order to create that road. So that road is probably just wide enough in some areas to fit two cars wide. Majority of it, though, is only about one truck wide safely. And then it's a large riprap, you know, 3 to 4 foot across that creates the majority of it.
Riprap, I'm not familiar with.
That's large rock. So along our shoreline, especially like down in Milwaukee, if you're at Summerfest grounds, you'll mm-hmm. see a lot of those large rocks right along the shoreline.
Uh-huh.
That's our riprap.
I did not know that had a name, so now
yep.
I learned something today. That's great. So now I've seen pictures, overhead pictures, and it's really neat. If people can go on the internet and just kind of Google it, but it is a very long road with little branches coming off, right?
Yeah, so it is 2.5 miles out into the bay, and then if you're looking at an aerial photo, you'll see that there are these arms, as we would call them, that mm-hmm. go south and southwest direction off of it. And those arms, each one of them is the outside edges of an island. So you'll see that there'll be a total of 3 cells or 6 of those arms. So in between each of those arms, we call a cell.
Okay.
And that's what's going to be filled with dredge materials.
And each one will be an individual island?
Correct. And
okay.
So it'll be 3 islands for a total of close to 272 acres.
Wow, that's amazing. So how much is completed right now?
Right now, we have only gotten a portion of the what we call western cell, or if you're looking at an aerial map, the furthest north cell, closest
okay.
to the land. That's about maybe only halfway filled, where the actual material is above the water. But the material is going to be filled much higher than the actual causeway is over time. So that's not very filled when you look at the long term.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at 20 to 40 years, somewhere in there, to fill all of these cells completely full.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, where does all this dredge spoil come from?
So the dredge materials, they all come from our shipping channel in the Bay of Green Bay here, which starts, of course, as we all know, in Fox River, and continues north for a long ways. The Bay of Green Bay is a fairly shallow bay, especially in the southern portions of the bay. But the majority of this material is actually coming from the outward end of that shipping channel. So we don't want to take anything from the Fox River, because that's going through all of the Fox River cleanup right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take our dredge material pretty much from Long Tail Point and north into the shipping channel, because that shipping channel is about 14 miles long.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. So does that soil spoil, or whatever you want to call it, does that have to be treated in any way then once it's dredged up?
Yeah, so the dredge material that we're taking from where we're taking it around Long Tail Point and north, that material has been tested in the past, and it is good enough material that we don't have to treat it for anything. As I mentioned before, Fox River, that's all being taken care of in this Fox River Area of Concern cleanup project that's been going on for about 14 years now. where that material has to be treated. Mm-hmm. And that we don't want to take for this project because we're utilizing this dredge material for creating island systems that will be wildlife habitat in the future.
And if you weren't using this for this island, where would that go?
That's a good question. So currently, or before this island restoration was being planned for, what we were doing is we were just maintaining, or the Brown County Port Authority and the Army Corps of Engineers were just maintaining the shipping channel to its depth that's allowed to, but to a much narrower width than what they're actually permitted to do, which when they were doing that, they had to move that dredge material up to another holding facility that was on land, and it costs a lot of money. They couldn't maintain it at its full width, which also restricts then a lot of what we can bring in through that shipping channel into the Fox Cities.
So this is a win-win for a bunch of organizations.
Yeah, it's a real big win-win. So the Army Corps of Engineers gets to maintain that shipping canal with Brown County Port Authority to really actually allow larger of these ships to come in and in a safer manner. In addition, us as natural resource managers, the Fish and Wildlife Service mm-hmm. and the Wisconsin DNR, get to utilize this dredge material to create some really cool wildlife habitat.
And then once this stuff is out there in these cells, what happens to it then? Does it have to get pushed down? Does it have to have topsoil put on? I mean, what's the process?
Yeah, so a lot of this, the actual material is numerous different types of sediment. So we were fortunate during the first year that majority of that actually was sand. And when that first got placed in 2014, we created a really cool sand dune island, which became a really cool migratory stopover for a lot of shorebirds and other types of water birds that utilize the Bay of Green Bay. But over time, you know, we get different types of sediment that come through. We get some really fine sediments sometimes, which create more of a muck layer in there. What we do is that it just gets dredged by barge, and then it's a hydraulic pipe that pumps it all the way down that arm or that spine of the causeway right into one of the cells. And that right there, then we just let it settle over time. And the only things that we are right now currently doing is vegetative management out there, which is a meeting I have actually out in the field out there tomorrow to talk about.
You have a meeting in the field. I like that. So can people drive out there, or how does... It attaches to the land, right?
Yeah, so this road does attach to the land, and there is two gates that are on this road. The first gate is just to make sure we don't allow traffic out onto the causeway.
It's not a tourist site. Right?
Not a tourist site, no. But you can walk around that first gate, which is right at the end of a paved road. But as soon as you start walking down that causeway, you will come to a second gate. And that second gate is right around the shoreline, actually, where the Cattail Marsh ends. And the causeway begins. That second gate from there to the end of the causeway, which is the shipping channel, is all closed to public. And that is because this is considered an active construction site mm-hmm. By the Army Corps of Engineers and Brown County Port Authority. So that we don't want to have anybody out there walking around on these dredge materials or running into any equipment that's out there actively working.
Definitely. And I'm assuming there's no boating around that area either.
You can boat all around it, but I would highly suggest you don't because it is very shallow.
Okay. Well, that's a very good precaution. You don't want that. We're talking with DNR wildlife biologist Josh Martinez about the work that's being done on Cat Island in Green Bay. Well, we'd like you to join the conversation, so give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, and we'll be back right after the news. Clean dredge sediment is being used to restore Cat Island in Green Bay, and we're taking a look at the project and the benefits that it's bringing to that area. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm filling in for Larry Mueller today. We're talking with Josh Martinez. He's a wildlife biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and he's been helping out on the project for some time. Would you like to know more about it? Do you think something like this would be beneficial in your area? Well, join our conversation. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, and you can always send us an email. That address is ideas@wpr.org, and you can post a question or a comment, or what about a photo on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page? And we do have lots of open lines here, so give us a call. Join the conversation. Josh,
Yes.
You're with us. Okay, good. There was silence there. I was afraid.
No, we're all good.
We're all good. Now, before you, when we were talking, you had mentioned plants. Now, let's get into what you are putting out there on this newly created bit of land.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. So we're not putting anything. That's kind of the funny thing. Yeah, we're pretty fortunate what happens in this site here being a very productive Bay of Green Bay. We have a lot of plant life that's surrounding in the marshes that are still left. And in addition, this dredge material that's coming out of the shipping channel, we're noticing has got some seed bank left in it. Not much of things that are the most, perfect for a habitat, but we are working with what we have out there. So we do get a lot of cottonwoods, willows, but we're also getting cattails. We're getting some special concern species of dune plants that are out there. So American sea rocket is one of them. But we also get numerous other plants out there, too.
So nature is going to have its way no matter what, right?
Exactly, yes.
Now, the reason we found out about this is because we were sent a link to a video called Cat Island, Rebirth of an Environment. And if anybody wants to see that, by the way, you can just Google that. It's on YouTube, and it's also on our Facebook page, so you can get a direct link there. And one of the things they were showing was some students from UW Green Bay. They were planting, I can't remember what it was now, but they were doing some planting. Was that on the shore, or where was that?
Yeah, so there has been some planting that has been going on in the marshes that are on the leeward side of this. So this Cat Island Causeway and the over 200 acres of islands are going to be created also are going to be protecting close to 1,200 acres of wetlands. And so we're looking to see how can we restore those wetlands. So that's where we're putting a lot more of our effort in. And there they're doing some wild celery, or water celery, however you want to call it.
That's what it was, water celery.
Okay. Yep, and then we're doing some wild rice plantings out there, which hasn't been in the Bay for a very, very long time. Historically, Green Bay was one of the largest wild rice paddies there were in the Great Lakes. So we're trying to do some major restoration with what we have available to us. So there is some planting that's going on through research on small scale, and we're hoping in the future that we could utilize some of that information for large scale restoration.
Wonderful. And we have a caller here. Lee in Green Bay has a question for us. Hi, Lee. What's your question? Oh, I'm sorry. We can't get to you yet, Lee, but we'll get to you soon. In the meantime, I know that there's a lot of new wildlife that's been coming to the area. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so this small island that's already been created has created this perfect migratory stopover for lots of different shorebird species. That's our biggest improvement that we've seen out there. So we've seen 30 different species of shorebirds that come through Wisconsin. So it seems to be a very, very good spot, and it's mainly because it's disconnected as an island and not open to public accessibility. So this is an undisturbed beach shoreline with very highly productive site. The soil or the water is very highly productive here in Green Bay, and it's created a really good migratory stopover.
Okay, well, Lee is available now, so let's go to Lee. He had that question. Hi, Lee.
Hi. Say, I was just wondering if there's any plans to do any dredging from Duck Creek, from say the village of Howard, out through that area to the mouth of the Fox River to, you know, let some boats go out there. And then my second part is, once that's filled in, do you have plans to take care of the phragmites that are just exploding in that area? And I'll listen to your response off the air.
Thanks. Okay, thank you, Lee.
Yeah, so for Duck Creek here, that would be maintained most likely by the village of Howard if they're going to do some sort of dredging. They've done a little bit of work here and there at the boat landing that's along Highway 41 to allow smaller boats through. But Duck Creek is, I mean, it's deep enough to take, most small boats out into the Bay of Green Bay from there. But over time, you know, that may change. But we're hoping restoration of the marshes will help protect that from having to be constantly dredged or cleaned out. I don't know of any plans, though, in the future with that.
Okay.
But with the phragmites management in Green Bay, that's a big issue that we faced in Green Bay, and we continue to for a very long time. Because it is very shallow water, so we have really good phragmites habitat, and we will continue to spray that through grants and our partnerships that we have either with Fish and Wildlife, within the DNR, with Bay Lakes Planning Commission, and a few others to continue to treat that. So It's on our agenda to make sure we keep that under control the best we can, but we got to work with our partners and municipalities and landowners to move that forward.
And for those who aren't familiar with that, Phragmites?
Yes, Phragmites.
What is it?
Yeah, Phragmites they call it giant reed grass is another name for it.
So and it's that's a plant.
Yeah, it's an invasive grass, wetland grass that we have here, and it's very, very abundant in Green Bay. Anywhere from 10 feet to even up to 20 feet tall, I've seen it growing. And it outcompetes a lot of our native wetland species, just about all of them. And it can take over an area, and not very much wildlife utilizes it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, it's not a very good beneficial plant to have. And we want to make sure we maintain really good diversity of our wetlands, and that is a destroyer of our diversity.
Okay. We do have another phone call. We have Mark in Green Bay. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Well, just as an aside on the Phragmites, they sprayed it and took it out in front of our house. There are about 320 feet of it. Now we got open water that's choked with European milfoil. There's no habitat at all. It's open water. We have shoreline erosion because of it. But my concern is I'm kind of a Cat Island skeptic. He was talking about how the Cat Island chain was initially scoured by reflective waves coming off the riprap down the southern end of the bay where they took out one of the really big marshes by enclosing it. And now essentially what they've done is move the riprap north a little bit. I live on Dead Horse Bay, immediately north of Cat Island Restoration Chain. And in talking to the people that were involved in designing this, they haven't taken full effect of what the seiches will do reflecting off there. The water comes down the bay, hits this big riprap, and comes back to Dead Horse Bay, which is a dead-end bay. And we've been noticing changes in our water fluctuation levels that are caused by the Cat Island restoration. I've got a lot of other stuff I could talk about, too. Let's start with that.
Okay, Josh, what do you say to that skepticism from Mark?
Well, thanks again, Mark, for calling in. And, that is a good point to bring up, that we are creating, another riprap wall here. But in the future designs of this, is there's going to be some softening on the northern edge of that entire causeway. Dead Horse Bay, I have spent a good number of hours this summer in Dead Horse Bay, and in the last few years, actually, with the high water levels, because it is easier to get in there. And a lot of that has been changing back to what it was historically during high water years. So we have removed Phragmites, of course, as much as we can, but there's still a lot of it out there. But high water has also been reducing a lot of the emergent marsh over time. And that's still with ice scour and just prolonged high water will drown out a lot of those species. So we do have more open water on the south side of Longtail Point into Dead Horse Bay. So Dead Horse Bay is created by Longtail Point on the west shore of Green Bay here. And high water levels will continue to maintain that moving forward. But again, Green Bay over history has gone up and down with water levels. And we're not at record highs yet. But we did hit record lows back in the fall and winter of 2013. So we saw the most expansive emergent marshes coming off people's properties, which was primarily Phragmites at that time. So we got rid of Phragmites, high water came back up, which is holding the Phragmites at bay. And when water levels continue to recede again, usually every 10 to 15 years, this goes up and down, we will see those shorelines expand out again and move out from there. There's plenty of hybrid cattail and Phragmites to fill in when the water level goes down, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with DNR wildlife biologist Josh Martinez about the work that's being done on Cat Island and the wetlands in that area of Green Bay. We'd like you to join the conversation. We have open lines, the number 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm sure you have some nice pictures of Green Bay that you can share with us up there. Now, Josh, you had mentioned that when you were a UWGB Green Bay student, you helped out there. Do you have a lot of students that are working with you right now in that area?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, we are really fortunate that we've had this partnership for a long time with UW Green Bay through the DNR and through Fish and Wildlife Service. And they've helped us out a lot this summer with doing a lot of our monitoring on one of our poster children birds that we have out there, and that would be the piping plover. So we've been pretty fortunate with students helping out with monitoring of our birds, but also in the past we had a few grad students that were doing a lot of work on wetland restoration experiments, and that helped provide us with some really good insight for what we're going to do large scale.
and good experience for them.
Exactly. Really great experience for them.
Well, tell us about that poster child, the piping plover.
So the piping plover here nested last year, successful nest in the summer of 2016 for the first time in Brown County history.
Wow.
And the first time in the lower Bay of Green Bay in 75 years. So we were really fortunate. We had them really scouting out the area for about two or three summers beforehand, and they finally brought back a female with them this time, and they created the first nest out here.
And this year?
This year, we will be having a lot more information coming out later this week, but...
you can't let us know?
I'll give you a little heads up. We did have four breeding pairs out there this year.
That's wonderful.
It's a lot more than we expected, and so that's great to see. And there was lots of nests that were out there. There's four nests. Plenty of chicks, and a total of six chicks have fledged this year that we're going to be talking about here, hopefully by the end of this week with a press release.
Well, that's great. We'll look forward to hearing about that. We do have some more calls, so let's get right back to Nick in Green Bay. Hi, Nick.
Hey, I've just got a question for you. I actually grew up on the Bay. I mean, all my life, that's all we did was played around the Bay and stuff. And I was just wondering, now, I know you guys are doing that project out there by Bark Housing, and we actually put duck blinds out there for the handicap, but you took those off. But my question was, is now you doing all this projects and stuff out there, is the water going to get cleaner? Because it seems like, as far as I could ever remember, the Bay was just a nasty, nasty place for everybody, like birds, animals, everything.
Okay, well, Josh, is that going to help with water quality?
Yeah, so this Cat Island Causeway and the whole restoration site, what it's going to do is going to really reduce the amount of fetch or the ability of wind to carry water across the landscape or create larger waves. And if we could reduce the amount of wave action that occurs, we're going to reduce the turbidity or the amount of sediment within the water column, which allows for more plant growth to grow into those marshes and the submergent marshes, which will help with absorbing a lot more of the nutrients, and the productivity of the area will increase. And we're already seeing a lot more submergent plant species are showing up. And water clarity does decrease or does increase over time as we increase our ability to create a more diverse wetland. And so right now there is, you know, before this, we had no real emergent or submergent marsh to the south of the causeway, and we're starting to slowly increase that. And it's creating a healthier wetland, a healthier ecosystem altogether. And the goal is into the future that this restoration will help with reducing a lot of that. We're already seeing that sediments don't go the same direction they used to when they came out of Duck Creek. They're getting stopped by the causeway, so Dead Horse Bay is actually starting to clean up pretty good. And hopefully in the future they'll continue that way.
Well, that's great. Thank you for asking, Nick. We appreciate that call. Now, when I was listening to that video, they had mentioned on there that you've gotten calls from all over the place about this project and other places wanting to duplicate it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I haven't had too much experience with that. A lot of my colleagues have. And we do get, you know, calls, and some of the Brown County Port Authority staff, they get calls from all over the world just asking, you know, what are we doing here to create really cool habitat? And how can partnerships between, you know, municipalities and port authorities or, you know, transportation outlets, how can we make those partnerships with natural resource managers? And so that's the main thing that they're looking for, is how did we develop our partnership here? And we are really fortunate that we've had a very close-knit community here within the natural resource management of Green Bay because of the university was a really good stepping stone to bring all those people together.
Now, refresh our memory again. How many organizations and what organizations are there that are working on this project together?
Oh, there's a lot of them. We have Army Corps of Engineers. We have Brown County Port Authority. We have... there's another harbor organization I can't remember off the top of my head. But we also have Fish and Wildlife Service. We have the DNR. We have Great Lakes Protection Funds and numerous other funding agencies that have come into this whole entire project.
That's a really good example of all kinds of different organizations working together to make something that sounds like it's going to work really well.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone. Rod in Weyerhaeuser has a question. Hopefully you can answer for him. Hi, Rod.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyhow, that reed grass you were talking about, that's invasive. You know, I'm just wondering that stuff. They were talking about switchgrass a few years ago. If that stuff is 20 foot tall, my God, you should be able to get volumes of that stuff to make ethanol. Isn't that possible?
Yeah, so that's actually been an experiment that's been done around here. I've had some of my colleagues in the past work on research of some of that as grad students. And what they were seeing is just the feasibility of trying to find a place that can utilize that biomass is very difficult, for one, because just to harvest it, it's in standing water. So just the machinery to do it would be very difficult. And to transport this biomass to a place, it just was not cost efficient unless we had new facilities that were built right here. So you need to have facilities that are fairly close by in order to do that. But the other issue that we have then too is that if we want to use this as a biomass fuel, then we have to farm it as a biomass fuel. And we don't want to be farming giant reed grass, because that is just not a very good wildlife plant species. And it just is becoming very thick stands of it that just outcompete a lot of our native. And we want to restore back to native in Green Bay, because that seems to be what's actually going to be protecting the Bay of Green Bay into the future.
Okay. Well, thank you for that good question, Rod. And thank you, Josh, for that great answer. Let's go to Tom in New Franken. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good afternoon. Just a quick question. All of the Cat Island seed, is that going to do anything to improve the perch population? I know you spend millions of dollars on walleye habitat and muskie habitat and restocking muskies. Are you doing anything for the perch population?
That's a good question. I haven't really spent much time with my fishery staff, but from my research, I've helped out with colleagues in the past. We've noticed that a lot more of our smaller rivers that are attributed to large marshes are really good nursery grounds for small perch. And so if we were to apply that to Cat Island, we're working right now to restore a lot of those wetlands that are associated with Duck Creek. And Duck Creek right there is going to be possibly a really good nursery area for perch going into the future. But that's something I can look more into. And we should be including more fishery staff on that too.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that call, Tom. So if people want to know more about this project, maybe volunteer, if you're looking for volunteers, what's the best place to go?
That's a good question. We don't have too much of a well-established location. There is the video, of course, Cat Island, Rebirth of an Environment. Just don't search for Cat Island on YouTube, because you'll find islands of cats.
That's right. There are no cats on Cat Island.
But if you also just Google search for Cat Island, Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Cat Island Restoration, Green Bay, Wisconsin, you'll find that we have the Brown County Port Authority. He's got a really good website with all the materials about the plans, about what's going on out there on Cat Island and moving forward. And they are the main driver. They're the landowners of this project. And so they would be the best ones to contact moving forward. If you do want to get a hold of me to get a better idea of what we're doing out there for research at any time, I do work pretty heavily with some of our birding communities that we have here, or birding organizations. So the Bay Area Bird Club I've worked with in the past. And I've also worked with the Northeast Wisconsin Audubon Society. So we do a lot of contact with those guys just to get them out here. And the University of Green Bay is going to be your best one. But you can contact me, joshua.martinez@wisconsin.gov. That's just my work email. And if you have questions about what's going on out there, I'm willing to help out. But if you got questions about stuff that's going on for dredge projects in the Mississippi, that's not my ball game there.
Not quite on your list yet.
Nope.
We do have a question from Jim in Price County that actually relates to what you were just talking about. Hi, Jim.
I'm a birder, and I've heard of Cat Island, and it's supposed to be a really terrific birding area. And I know that you're trying to protect the area during the breeding season for the piping plover and other birds. But now, like right now, is a big migration time, and most of the birds have finished their net breeding activities. And I was wondering if it's possible for birders or birding groups to get access to the area.
That's a really good question. So we do, every once in a while, get contacted from Northeast Wisconsin Audubon or WSO and the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology and a few others if they could do field trips out here. And that has to go through an approval process of what's called CIAC. Here in the DNR, we love acronyms, same with our partners. So that's the Cat Island Advisory Committee, CIAC. And they need to get approval from them. And at that point, if they do get approval for larger groups of birders to do field trips like that, they can take them out there. But individuals, we restrict that, of course. This is an active construction site for one, so we want to protect people. And two, this is a, you know, superdome of migratory stopover. So it's got everything these birds want, which also includes the lack of birders coming out there to disturb them. As much as that, it's not fun for us as birders. I enjoy bird watching myself. I still restrict myself during the migration season because I don't want to disturb these birds. They're already making, you know, their trek. They're only, you know, a third of the way south. Some of these guys go all the way down the southern tip of South America, and they came from the Arctic tundra. So we don't want to put too much disturbance and pressure on them, help them conserve the amount of energy that they need to collect for this trip.
And maybe you can look at the, you know, stay on the shore with binoculars, right?
Yeah, or you can take a kayak or a canoe out there, too. Just don't get off on the causeway
there
at all.
There you go. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Josh. We've been talking about the restorations of Cat Island with DNR Wildlife Specialist Josh Martinez. Thanks to Michelle Johnson, our executive producer and on-air producer today, and to Dave Potras for technical direction. Travel expert Rick Sini is with us tomorrow at 11, and then at 11:45, we'll talk about the federal duck stamp. So hope you can be with us then. And if you can't catch the show live, you can always hear it at WPR.org. I'm Jill Nadeau, filling in for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. There's more to come.